Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's video, I want to talk to you about natural gas. And the thing that we've all been waiting to happen has now finally occurred. Russia has switched off the supply of natural gas to two countries in Europe, to Poland and to Bulgaria. So in this video, we'll run through exactly what's happened in the build-up to this gas supply being cut off. We'll talk about the announcement that President Putin made at the end of March that he wanted all payments to be made in future in rubles. We'll have a look in a bit more detail as to how that works in practice and which countries have actually complied with Russia's request. We'll then talk about Poland and Bulgaria, what the situation is with regards to how much gas they've currently got in storage, what percentage of their gas comes from Russia, and what their options are going forward. We'll have a look at the seasonality of gas usage because we're coming towards the end of the spring period in Europe and into the summer months. And so the usage you would expect should be lower. However, there is a lot of industrial use which doesn't really have as much seasonality. So we'll touch on that. I'll then talk about the likelihood of other European nations having their gas supplies cut off and what the options are in terms of other alternative sources. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think is likely to happen over the rest of 2022 and what the implications of all of this are for the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content. And also please subscribe if you haven't done so already. And don't forget, I always include chapters in these videos. So if there's a section you're not that interested in, it's really easy to skip over it. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look in the description below where you'll find a link to Buy Me A Coffee and Patreon. And also there's a new feature on the channel called Super Thanks, which is a YouTube run feature. So have a look at that if you're interested. Russia has huge natural gas supplies and is the world's largest exporter and provides around 40% of all of the natural gas used in Europe. And natural gas is really vital to the economies of Europe because it's used not only for heating and cooking purposes by households, but also for the production of electricity through gas-fired power stations. And it's used by industry directly for heating and industrial purposes. Following all of the economic sanctions that were brought in against Russia at the start of the invasion, President Putin gave the following address on national TV on the 31st of March.
Ну и подписан указ, который устанавливает правила торговли российским природным газом с так называемыми недружественными государствами. Мы предлагаем контрагентам из таких стран понятную и прозрачную схему, чтобы приобрести российский природный газ, они должны открыть рублевые счета в российских банках. Именно с этих счетов будет вестись оплата газа, поставленного, начиная с завтрашнего дня, с 1 апреля текущего года. Если же такие платежи не будут производиться, будем считать это неисполнением обязательств со стороны покупателей, со всеми вытекающими последствиями. Нам никто ничего бесплатно не продает. И мы тоже не собираемся заниматься благотворительностью. То есть действующие контракты будут остановлены. Вновь подчеркну, в ситуации, когда финансовая система западных стран используется как оружие, когда компании из этих государств отказываются исполнять контракты с российскими банками, предприятиями, физическими лицами, когда активы в долларах и евро замораживаются, использовать валюты этих стран не имеет смысла.
So the message to the European nations was clear. From the 1st of April, Russia were demanding that all future payments for gas were made in Russian rubles to Russian banks. Now, there was a number of reasons why Russia did this. Firstly, the value of the ruble had started to deteriorate hugely following the introduction of all of the sanctions. Nobody wanted to deal with Russia. There was no demand for Russian rubles, and therefore the market cratered. And we saw the value of the ruble fall from around about 80 rubles to $1 to closer to 150 rubles. Now, Russia did not want that to continue. So by asking for all of the gas payments to be made in rubles, Russia was creating demand for the currency, and therefore there was a justification for the valuation to start strengthening again. In addition to the currency issue, there was also the fact that President Putin wanted to force all of the European nations to have to deal with the Russian banks. A number of the Russian banks had been sanctioned immediately, and it was likely that more sanctions would be applied against the other financial institutions. But by introducing this new measure, whereby everybody had to give money to the Russian banks, it would make it very difficult for the Western nations to sanction banks that they needed to deal with. And the final factor with regards to the demand for ruble payments was that Russia wanted to flex its muscles. It wanted to show the Western world that it was not going to sit down and just take all of the sanctions lightly, that it was going to come back with its own counter-sanctions. And forcing all of these nations to pay in rubles was a way of showing that Russia had the power, they have the natural resource that everybody needs, and therefore they wanted to make sure that all of these countries were dancing to their tune rather than being told what to do. One of the concerns following President Putin's statement was that none of the European nations were sitting on any rubles, and there were not enough rubles in the international markets to be able to satisfy the purchases, especially as the large Russian banks had been sanctioned. However, the details of how the payments were due to be made were later clarified. All unfriendly countries, as defined by Russia, had to open accounts at Gazprom Bank, which is the bank that deals with all of the oil and gas payments for Russia, and then make payments for Russian gas imports in either euros or dollars as per the contract details. These euros or dollars would then be converted into rubles before the payment is made to Gazprom for the gas. So essentially what Russia was asking for was payments to continue to be made as normal in euros or dollars, but officially, all of these payments would then have to be converted into rubles before the contract was settled. And this has two main benefits for Russia. Firstly, it helps the ruble exchange rate because there is demand for rubles. Europe is paying around $450 million per day to Russia for the gas supplies. If you're converting $450 million per day into rubles, then that is going to increase the demand for rubles, and therefore the price and the value of the ruble is going to go up. And that's exactly what we've seen over the last few weeks. We have seen the ruble bounce back from that all-time low of around 150 rubles to $1 to closer to 75 rubles to $1, which is a two-year high. So this arrangement has worked very well in terms of strengthening the value of the ruble. But the other advantage for Russia is that it gives them a supply of euros and dollars. So they are still being paid in those currencies by all of these European countries. And that means that they're now building up their reserves. So they could make future payments on their debt in those currencies if they wish to. However, that's another point of principle that Russia is trying to make those payments in rubles. The response to this new payment process has been mixed amongst the European countries. This chart shows the exposure of European countries to Russian gas and details the percentage of the annual purchases that were made in 2020 that came directly from Russia. The countries at the top of this chart are predominantly Eastern European countries that are located very close to Russia, and some of whom were part of the former USSR Soviet Union. In terms of the larger countries of Europe, we can see that Austria was previously buying around 64% of all of its gas from Russia, Germany 49%, Italy 46%, and Poland 40%. So this chart really highlights the problem that a lot of these European countries are facing. And one of the reasons that Europe has become so dependent on Russian gas is because of the low cost of transmission. This chart shows the pipelines that have been built all across Russia that feed Russian gas directly into all of these different countries. And this is why Russian gas is so much cheaper than all of the alternatives. The other option that all of these countries has is to buy liquefied natural gas, whereby gas is supercooled and held under pressure and is then transported on large ships and then has to be regasified at the other end. And of course, there's going to be lots of cost associated with all of those processes. So when you compare the cost of transporting liquefied natural gas, not only across the ocean, but then also across all of the European landmass, when that's compared to the cost of piping gas in its natural state directly through pipelines, then there is a marked difference in the cost. So replacing Russian natural gas is not an easy process because for a lot of countries, particularly the landlocked countries in Central Europe, it's going to be very expensive because they're going to have to transport that gas not only over sea, but also over large distances of land. And as I mentioned at the start of the video, gas is absolutely essential to a lot of countries in Europe for the production of electricity, but also for the provision of gas for heating and cooking for the households and for industry. So it's a triple threat to the existence of all of these countries. And that's why some of the countries of Europe have actually complied with President Putin's demand to make these payments and then have the money converted to rubles. So Germany have been following that process, as has Hungary and Austria. Poland was previously part of the USSR and has been one of the most vocal opponents to this new scheme, and Bulgaria also stated that they will not be making any payments in rubles. Poland was formerly part of the USSR and has been one of the strongest vocal opponents against Russia over the last few months. On the 29th of March, 5 days after the Russian invasion of Ukraine, the Polish government announced a ban on the import of all Russian coal. This announcement actually went against the EU strategy of gradually reducing the dependence on Russian energy, but Poland decided that it could no longer stomach buying any of this coal, even though it represented around 20% of all of Polish imports. Poland has been reducing its dependence on Russian gas, but still sources around 40% of all of its requirements directly from Russia. However, the country refused to comply with President Putin's demand to make future payments in rubles. This action was actually in compliance with EU guidelines, which stated that companies with contracts stipulating payments in euros or dollars should not accede to Russian demands. This would be contrary to the sanctions in place. EU companies can ask their Russian counterparts to fulfil their contractual obligations in the same manner as before the adoption of the decree, i.e. by depositing the due amount in euros or dollars. On the 27th of April, it was announced that all gas supplies to Poland had been halted due to the fact that the country had rejected its demand to pay for all gas in rubles. Poland has a population of 38 million, and the government has announced that their storage facilities are currently 76% full, which means that they can continue supplying gas on a normal basis for the foreseeable future. They are currently talking to other suppliers and investigating other ways of keeping gas supplies high to make sure that the nation is unaffected. One of the major gas pipelines from Russia actually runs through Poland into Germany, and Russia have warned Poland about siphoning off any gas and that they will switch off the supply entirely if they find any evidence of this happening. So essentially what they're saying is that if Poland tries to steal any of the gas that's intended to be supplied to Germany, then it will switch off all the supply for Germany as well. Bulgaria is a much smaller nation than Poland and has a population of around 7 million, but its exposure to Russian gas is much higher, and as much as 90% of all of the gas used in the country comes directly from Russia. The supply of gas has now been terminated by Russia, and this is going to leave Bulgaria in a very precarious state because its storage facilities are only 18% full. So that means that they've got a very limited amount of gas to continue supplying their network. One of its neighbouring countries, Greece, has just come out and stated that it will support Bulgaria. And the proposal is that they will reverse the supply of gas in the Turkstream pipeline so that gas can actually flow backwards from Greece into Bulgaria in the short term. Bulgaria is also reportedly looking at importing large amounts of LNG from Azerbaijan and also converting some of its gas-fired power stations from gas to diesel. All of these measures will help, but there is a very real chance that Bulgaria could run out of gas because its existing storage is so low. I thought it would be useful to look at the seasonality of gas usage. We're currently in April, which is classified as spring in Europe, and so we're now moving towards the summer months. So you would expect the gas usage to fall because there's less need for heating. However, as you can see from this chart, there is a fairly high level of gas usage all through the whole of the year. And that's predominantly for two reasons. Firstly, industry. So the blue section at the bottom of this chart shows how much gas is used directly by industry. And you can see that the usage is fairly constant all through the year. And that's because industry is using it for industrial purposes. The light green section of this chart shows the gas that is being fed directly into households for heating and cooking. And you can see that this is the most seasonal part of the usage. So at the far left of this chart, which represents January and February and March, which is the winter period in Europe and is therefore the time that it is being used most. You can see that the household usage does shrink all through the summer period and then starts increasing rapidly again in October, November and December. The other two sections of this graph, which are labelled baseload power and peak load power, are the gas that is being used for generating electricity. And you can see that the usage for that purpose is fairly constant all through the year. So if we look at the detail on this chart, we can see that in January, which was the peak time for gas usage, around 50 billion cubic meters of gas is needed. The total requirements fall steadily through to June, when the usage is around about 25 billion cubic meters. And it stays relatively low through until September, when we start to see usage increasing again rapidly. So what this chart tells us is that Europe now has a 4 or 5 month period where usage is at its lowest point in the year to find alternative sources of gas to the Russian supplies. So what are the options in terms of Europe's alternative suppliers? This chart shows the top 10 exporters of natural gas. And you can see that after Russia, the four main players are the USA, Qatar, Norway, and Canada. From a geographical perspective, Norway is the only one of those four nations that's based in Europe. So that means that all of the imports that are coming from the USA, Qatar, and Canada will have to be liquefied natural gas. And if we look at this chart, it shows the top exporters of LNG over the last 7 years. And you can see that the USA has gone from virtually no exports 7 years ago to being projected to be the biggest single exporter in 2022. But as I've discussed in other videos, the problem with LNG is that you need to be able to turn it back into gas before you can use it in your power stations and transmit it to the households in your network. Which means that any countries that want to switch their supplies to this form of gas will need to establish regasification plants. And those plants take some time to set up and establish. For countries that have coastlines, they can set up floating regasification plants, which are essentially large tankers that take the LNG directly on the water. But for the countries in Europe that are landlocked, they will require that regasification to be done somewhere else, and then that gas will need to be piped directly to them. So the bottom line for a lot of countries here is that it's going to take time to switch out the supply from Russia to the alternatives, and it is definitely going to involve more cost. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, this announcement that Russia has decided to cut off all supply of gas for Poland and Bulgaria is a big moment in this war. We've heard a lot of rhetoric from Russia. We heard that they wanted to take all of the payments in rubles and they were threatening to cut off the supplies. But I think it's a surprise to the markets that Russia has actually followed through on this. And now that they've cut off the supply to two countries, it means that they've really shown their hand and painted themselves into a corner. So they will have to continue with this strategy if other countries refuse to comply with their demand to pay in rubles. The other issue we've got here is that the remaining nations of Europe who are continuing to take gas from Russia are now becoming very nervous. It is entirely feasible that Russia could cut off the supply to all of the countries. President Putin is not looking at this from an economic perspective. If he was looking at his P&L, he wouldn't be switching off the supply of gas to any of the nations. He might be increasing the price and forcing them to pay a lot more, but he certainly wouldn't be cutting it off because that means that they will be getting no revenue going forward. But as we know, this war has not been a good investment and is not good for the health of the Russian economy. So the fact that President Putin doesn't care about the economics means that there is a genuine risk that we could see all of the Russian gas being cut off to Europe, certainly for a short period of time, or possibly for an indefinite amount. And if that happens, then Europe would be thrown into chaos. It's one thing talking about Poland and Bulgaria trying to find alternative sources and trying to buy up the excess amount of supply in the market. But if the whole of Europe was suddenly looking to buy liquefied natural gas, there simply wouldn't be enough around to be able to satisfy that demand. And also we'd have the practical problems of those countries not having enough regasification plants to be able to convert that LNG back into gas to be able to use. So we're now at a really interesting point of this war. The sanctions that have been brought in against Russia have been hurting the Russian economy, and Russia is now fighting back. And if it decides to switch off the natural gas supplies to Europe, we will see blackouts in a lot of the developed countries of Europe. And that would mean that industry would grind to a halt overnight and it would cause chaos. Europe does have some supplies of gas, but certainly not enough to see it through the rest of 2022. It needs to build up its storage in order to be able to cope with an overnight switch off. The EU has stated that its storage is currently 23% full. So that's nowhere near the 80% that it was demanding that all of the countries get to for November to be able to see them through the winter period and survive if Russia stops the supplies. Now, President Putin is obviously fully aware of that, and he knows this is the point to start turning the screw and putting pressure on the EU. So what happens over the next couple of months is going to be really fascinating. If Russia does decide that it can afford to cut off all of those future gas supplies, then that will be a really painful lesson for Europe. The US has been very worried about the power that Russia holds over Europe because of its energy supplies, and we could now see the problems starting to manifest themselves over the course of this year. So I'll obviously keep you posted as and when there are any more developments in this story. If you've liked what I've said today, if you've thought that it was interesting, informative and educational, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Hey guys, just a quick update on Joe Blogs 2. I know you're all sick of it, but some great news. We're over 1,800 subscribers, so thank you very much for anybody who's subscribed. I really appreciate that. And the watch time is really starting to pick up as well. So we're over 2,700 now. So that means that we've only got 1,300 to go. We've really broken the back of it, very close to the 4,000 now. But I still need to ask you to have a look at those videos. If you've got a spare 5 minutes, please jump over to the channel, press play on one or two of the videos. Or if you've got time, press play on the playlist and let it run through. We're very nearly there. I'm hoping that by the middle of May, we'll be at that point where we can apply for monetization. And then I can start posting some of the exciting videos that I know you guys are working on. So hopefully we'll get there soon and then we can start this experiment for real. So thanks again for watching this part of the video and for watching this whole video all the way through to the end.